You're listening to the Whittier Christian Herald's podcast.
This is the Herald podcast. Today we're sitting down with Whittier Christian art teachers John Jenberg and Darren Inouye. Today they talk about their journey to Whittier Christian, their time here, and how they work to bring the world of visual arts alive for our students.
44 years.
Yeah.
Taught photography for a while, and all the other years taught all the different levels of art. Coaching wise, yeah. I coached baseball for 35 years, and coached girls soccer for 12, varsity soccer, coached guys varsity soccer for 3. I actually coached JV girls basketball for a year, and that was about all I could handle.
I love it.
And there's reasons for that, but that's some other time. Anyway.
Quick bio. All right, to the top.
My name's Mr. Inouye. And I have been working in the art industry since 2012 in illustration in the fine arts world. I've taught art for 9 years, but this is my first year here at Whittier Christian. So first year teacher at the school.
Your journey kind of started together here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And yeah. Do you, Darren came in in the summer before his freshman year.
Yeah.
And took Art 1. Mm-hmm. I don't know why you did that.
I think it's because I wanted to jump to Art 2 my freshman year. But I think that, so Mr. Jenberg was my first experience of Whittier Christian. Like, this was the first classroom I stepped into on campus, I think, or at least the first classroom I had a class in formally. So it's pretty amazing that, you know, full circle.
And who was stepping into this classroom? Were you from another school? Like, what was your background?
I came from Heights Christian.
Okay.
Before that, I was at Maybrook, Whittier Christian Maybrook Elementary. So did private school my whole life. And then my brother and sister, they both went to Sonora. So it's just interesting that God had me come to Whittier Christian. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you guys together. So it was Art 1, and then you're new to art. Did you have a background in it?
I had a background. So I started kind of being more interested in art maybe around sixth grade, because I was always the short little Asian kid amongst my friends who were all super tall and athletic. So I think I kind of by default gravitated towards art because it was the only thing I felt like I had some sort of recognition in. I don't really know if I identified that as a talent within myself or even if I enjoyed creating art, but it was more so like, oh, this is kind of like what I feel comfortable with. So going into Whittier Christian, I think I knew I wanted to focus in on art. So that's why I was like, okay, I'll take Art 1 during summer. I could jump into Art 2 for freshman year, and then hopefully get as much out of the art program at Whittier Christian as possible.
And that's kind of how you showed up. So John, how did you, you're an athlete on one side, and you caught up Biola, and then on the other side, you're an accomplished artist, and you were studying that area and thinking of making a profession. How did those two come together, and how did those two coexist, I guess, for 30 years here?
It's interesting because I remember McKinley was a principal here at a school. He said, you're going to be good for the art program. And I said, why is that? He goes, because you coach. I said, why is that? He goes, well, a lot of guys don't think the arts are for them, especially if they're in sports. And if they see a coach in the classroom, in the art room. And my own personal journey is my dad played at Duke. I mean, he was a tremendous athlete. And it was intimidating. But I thought, and he brought us up to be athletes, my brother and I. And that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna play baseball, we're gonna do whatever. But then I found one of his old sketchbooks. And he had done some sketching. I thought, okay, dad can draw too. And it opened up a door to say, okay, it's okay to be, and then I started messing with cartooning and stuff. And he had a good friend who was connected to a newspaper, who was an illustrator for a newspaper, saw my work and kind of encouraged me that way. So, and in high school, the art classes were a lot easier than the academic classes.
Get that GPA up.
So I was all in for that.
Absolutely.
I mean, I did okay academically, but definitely enjoyed the arts class.
Was that around here? Were you from this area?
New Jersey.
No kidding. Okay.
Yeah, in the shadow of Manhattan.
Develop a bold faith for a bright future at Biola University. one of the nation's premier Christian universities. Join a community where you belong. Be mentored by brilliant Christian scholars. Choose from leading academic programs in business, film, science, and more. Offered online and on campus in Southern California, one of the greatest destinations on earth. Biola University. Find your program today at biola.edu.
And what led you to Biola?
Well, I wanted to play baseball, but I also wanted to be an art major or get into advertising. And the most good Bible schools didn't have an art major. They had sports, like back east, all the schools that were considered good teaching Bible schools. We had great sports. My brother played them and all that kind of stuff, but they didn't have an art major. And if I checked into it, it was like very simple. Like it wasn't a, and then Biola, I realized Biola had advertising, it had communications, it had all kinds of majors. Of course, it was 3,000 miles away, which in some ways was a good thing too, because my dad was probably ready for me to get out. I was trouble. But So Biola was actually, I had an uncle who found a brochure for Biola.
Yeah.
Showed it to me and had the art major in there. I said, "Oh, well, I consider it." I didn't realize California and New York were that far away. Yeah. I mean, I'm 18, 19, whatever.
It's a million
I was
miles
at the time,
away.
So.
Yeah.
So it brought me out here, and then playing ball was fun. Yeah. You know, it was all encompassing at the college level.
Yeah.
I mean, you do nothing but all year round. I remember going to the coach and saying, "Hey, I need to work to kind of pay my bills. When does baseball start?" He said 2 weeks. And I thought he was going to say this, because back east, you only play in the spring.
Sure.
You don't play in the summer.
You can't. Yeah.
You don't play in the winter. Yeah. And he said 2 weeks. I was like, 2 weeks we start playing baseball? He goes, "Yeah, 2 weeks. We have a fall
you
schedule.
Show up August, whatever.
Fall, and we have a spring schedule. And there was like 100 games you played over the course of the year. I was like, this is crazy.
Wow.
You know, you played, well, maybe about 60 or 70 games. But it was like 30 game schedule in the fall, 40 schedule in the spring.
Yeah.
And you practiced all day long, and then doubleheaders on weekends. It's like, and you were traveling. It was a blast because you got to know the guys really well. Doug Domini, I played with Doug at Biola, and he got me to come here.
There's
a connection. Yeah. You know, it's like he was our second baseman.
Yeah.
And when I came over here, he saw me. He said, "Hey, I want you to coach baseball for me here." So,
wow.
You never know what connections you're going to get when you're
absolutely
when you're in school. Or,
that's true. Yeah, 100%.
And so that's the path that brought you here eventually. Mm-hmm. Did you come on as a coach? Did you come on as an art teacher at the same time? Or
yeah, I came in part-time.
Yeah.
And I taught two sections of photography, and I taught what is now the AP studio class. It was called Art Seminar at the time. I taught three classes, and then I coached freshman baseball.
Wow. And what were some of the names around there? It was Lois Freeman. That was the era?
McKinley.
Okay.
Was the head of school. And there was, memory. I mean, Endemona was here.
Sure.
Underwood. Bob Brown
was
young at the time.
Wow.
I can't believe he's still here. Oh, I'm still here, so I got
he's an animal.
But these guys have already been here for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And then most of those guys are retired now.
Yeah. Goes back.
Yeah.
So we got the path that brought each of you here. So what did you see in Darren coming in? And then what did you think of, like, what was your impression of the class, Mr. Jemberg? What you were learning as you came in? Maybe you guys can exchange a little bit on that. Like, what did you see? What do you remember about Darren, his journey, and then?
Yeah. Raul Esslinger was your principal.
Yes.
And he had done a pencil rendering for Esslinger of this Indian woman.
Mm-hmm.
I have a print of it in there in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed it to me. I was like, Raul showed it to me because he has the original. Mm-hmm. I have a print of it. And he goes, seventh grade, he did this in seventh grade. I said, "Who is this?" Because he's good. It's Darren. It's Darren's work. I was like, whoa. I mean, you look at that piece, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So I thought the amount of detail, so that was my introduction to his work.
Yeah.
In class, he was same age as Rach. So he and Rach kind of were in classes together.
Okay.
So that was kind of on my initial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But always highly skilled and always ready to do. Later on, when we got into the upper level classes, he always wanted to do something a little more creative. He didn't want to just do the thing, the have-to stuff. So
sure.
I appreciated that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, initially, just as a tiny little pre-freshman, because there were some seniors in that class, I remember just, you know, it's kind of hitting you as a little tiny, you know, teenager, like, oh my gosh, like these seniors, they look like men and women. And so it's a little intimidating. But the class being art, something that I enjoyed, really wanted to grow in, I loved it. Like, I think it was an incredible experience. And then Mr. Jemberg, I think because I had gone to, you know, like after school art programs and stuff, and they kind of really focus you in on maybe what you're good at. But what I appreciate about Mr. Jemberg, like, I think one of the first projects was the scratch board, something I had never done before. So kind of being stretched out of my comfort zone mm-hmm. to do things in a way that I'd never done anything like that before. Was really eye-opening. I think that was a good introduction even into high school, just this idea of like, oh, I have a lot to learn. Like, this is, you know, and Mr. Jemmer was the one who was providing that education. Mm-hmm. So it was a wonderful experience. I mean, I was in art every year. So mm-hmm. my senior mm-hmm. year, right? Mm-hmm. Even when there was no class that really fit me, I just wanted to be here.
He passed the AP exam with a 5, which is the highest grade you can get, in his junior year.
Yeah.
So in senior year, he decides to come back and take art again. And I'm looking, I'm like,
what are you going to do?
Darren, you already passed the AP exam.
You knew what he wanted.
That's the apex that we hit. Yeah. What do you want to do this year? Yeah. And so I approached him because you can do a drawing portfolio or a design portfolio.
Yeah.
And I said, why don't you do the design? You did the drawing portfolio. You got the 5. Mm-hmm. Why don't you do the design portfolio and go after that one too? Yeah. At first he said yes. And then about a week or two into school, he goes, I don't really want to do that.
Yeah. I had pretty bad senioritis at that time.
It happens for everyone.
Early in the year, he decided he wanted to just draw. And I was okay with that because he had already accomplished, I think, everything I expected from him.
Yeah.
So, although he did come back after a year at Art Center.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And said to me, you may not remember this, but I remember this. He said, I wish you had pushed me more. It's like, I felt like smacking him around.
No, it's true.
It's like, what do you mean push
me? You can't say that.
It's like your kid saying, I wish you had disciplined me more, Dad. It's like, no.
Yeah.
You know you didn't at the time.
Yeah.
And I was trying to, that's the thing about teaching.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wait, understanding the student and their journey mm-hmm. and then saying, okay, I want to encourage them. I want to motivate them, but I also don't want to push them out of it. I don't want to discourage them.
Absolutely.
So that was my challenge with you. It's like, okay, I know he should be doing more.
Yeah.
But he already did what I've asked him to do. Mm. You know, he's already accomplished. And this is really over the top. This is like icing on the cake. And it's like, okay, how far do I go with this?
Yeah.
And so I kind of let him ride.
Yeah.
How do each of you approach that problem? That's a real problem. Like, how hard do you push? Like, you're going to have that right now with your students. How do you approach that problem of, okay, I see the student can do X. Mm. I want to push them just a little farther. How do you look at that, view that, communicate that to the kids? Mm. But each of you, really, like, and
well,
it's probably
to see how you, because he has a lot of strong thoughts about teaching.
Yeah,
my perspective on it would be, you know, we talk about faithful journey and how we're on. Or faithful teaching, mm-hmm. how we're all on our own journeys. It's that way in art too. Mm-hmm. And so the challenge for me with kids is, like for instance, I'm not going to use her name, but I have a student who is very talented, but I know if I push her, she won't quit, but she'll go into a pause. Mm-hmm. And so the challenge is, how do I motivate her, encourage her, and I poke her, I tease her a lot, which I think works, but I don't know if it does. I might be failing at that. But that's what I do. You try to take kids kid by kid.
Yeah. Yeah. See the human.
But encouragement, I've realized over the years that you come up against next to a kid and say, wow, that is really good. Mm. And that's good for 4 years sometimes. Mm-hmm. One word from a teacher that they respect or they think what they're saying actually. Because parents will say your work is beautiful, even if it's not. And sometimes the kids just write it off and say, Grandma, I know it's good because Grandma said it is.
Yeah.
But when a teacher or somebody who's critical like I am
your job.
Says, hey, that work is really good,
yeah.
it does a huge amount to move the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And you've probably experienced that with some of it.
Yeah.
He had a school before he came here.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think that that's very similar to my mentality. I think also coming from that place where I was the kid who I wrote on my talent, but I didn't necessarily understand. I don't know if I was building character, like the type of thing that would go beyond just what I thought I can do that was good, and then trying to replicate that experience of just creating something that's going to get applause.
Mm.
So the what I've been trying to do, and still early in the year, is just trying to understand what are the goals of each student individually. Mm. So some of them, they're incredibly talented. They have no interest in going into art as a career, and I think that's a beautiful, wonderful thing. If you could do the craft as an expression, as a hobby, mm-hmm. it brings you joy, it brings you peace. That's good enough. That's absolutely a valid way to operate within the art world. Yeah. And then there are the students who really want to pursue it as a career, and they're indicating that to me over and over and over. And in that case, it's a little different, because I think then they need to be able to become a professional, not just a talented person. So that's how you communicate, how you work together as a team, how you receive criticism, all those different things. So that's something I'm trying to push him in a little bit.
Yeah.
And then just in general, because a good portion of the class probably is not going to do anything professionally in the creative field, but they still need to grow the skill of knowing how to work hard and yeah. focus in and kind of discipline is huge. So but that's, like you're saying, it's a complicated thing, so you don't want to push kids so hard that that they lose interest.
On the other hand though, kids in general, I'm really, it's not gonna sound old when I say this, but kids in general these days are lazy.
Yeah.
And so they want the quick fix.
Yeah.
The immediate gratification.
Yeah.
And a good artist, a talented artist, not only develops the skills, which is a lot of work,
mm-hmm.
repetition, failing. Mm-hmm. It also means you've got to approach it like, this is me getting up in the morning and saying, I'm going to obey and do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a feeling.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't have to be motivated or feel like doing it today. If you're going to be a professional.
Yeah.
Now the kids who want to just do it for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can get up and decide, yeah, today mm-hmm. to do it or not. And that's kind of a cool place to be.
Yeah.
But the kid who says, I need to get up and get to work.
Yeah.
That's a lot harder for some kids because it's not a natural thing, and it's not something that they're necessarily experiencing.
Yeah.
They're getting the easy path in a lot of ways today, in a lot of areas. So they don't like to hear no either. They don't like to hear that's not good. Everything's got to be, daffodils and sunflowers and happy thoughts.
Yeah.
And if you say something is not, needs to change, it's almost like you're saying they're not good at it.
Yeah.
Or they're not a good person. They turned it into something it's not.
Yeah.
And so that's a challenge, because it's like, no, you have to learn the discipline of getting up and going to work.
Trading.
Or disciplining yourself to do something consistent enough that it develops a skill.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You're not going to just show up on a baseball field and learn how to throw a baseball or field a ground ball or swing a bat.
Same thing in here.
Yeah. It takes work.
Yeah.
Exactly the same.
It is.
You said something that stuck out to me during the back to school night. I think I drew a piece out of it. I think there was patience in the process.
Mm.
It might not have been exactly that quote, but you talked about creating and being okay with it not being right.
Yes.
That's what my daughter drew from it, but the patience of the process. Can you tell me about that a little bit?
Yeah. So one thing that, again, and this is coming from my own experience, I used to have sketchbooks as a kid, and I would rip out every page that I didn't like. Mm. So the sketchbook would only, and nobody would see the sketchbook, just me, but it would just be all my good drawings, none of the drawings that were bad. I think that is totally understandable, but it also kind of reveals a certain level of insecurity. Like, I don't want to look in the mirror. I don't actually want to know why I was unsuccessful in a certain image. So, you guys are talking about football, and looking back at the tapes, like that's such an important process to be able to scrutinize. And the scrutinization is not to tear down the team, but it's to build it up. It's like, how can we be better? How can we become stronger? so that success doesn't become like a toss of a coin or, you know, a random thing where you don't understand why. Yeah. Why was I successful? I don't really know, but I hope I get successful again. It becomes a little bit more predictable. And you're still going to make mistakes, but then at that point, you'll be able to see your failures as a new opportunity to grow. So that's a huge thing that you get to experience in the art class, because in other classes, like, yeah, you don't want to fail. You need to get good grades.
Yeah.
But in art class, there's a ability to fail and for it to be a positive thing, because both me and Mr. Jemberg, we agree that, man, like in class effort, if you are working hard and you're keyed into whatever the project is, it doesn't really matter what it looks like. It's your effort, and then as we go through the class critiques and we talk about the work, it's how you receive that and move forward, which is huge. So patience is a key value if you want to do something. Just like we were talking about, like sports or music, you can't just pick up an instrument and just passionately start throwing your fingers around and blowing into it. Like, you need to understand there's a way to create beautiful sounds, and it's achievable, but it does take the work to get there.
That sketchbook is just a, you know, that's a mirror for the rest of your life. How do they benefit from being part of an arts program? What part of the brain do they develop? What part of the soul? Mm-hmm. What appreciations do they develop that even if they don't, if they like it, but they're not gonna have a future in it, why should they invest, you know, eight semesters in art or whatever they can do here? Mm-hmm. Why should they invest, and what are they going to get out of that? Mm-hmm. If they're an athlete, or a band,
a majority of the kids will not be professionals.
Of course,
most of the kids you have in your class. So the question you have, why should that yourself, kid why,
keep going?
Is one thing that I think is this is something you've never done before. Some of the kids have never done before. And they're afraid of it, and there's comparisons all the time with the kids sitting next to them. You know, wow, they can draw. I'm terrible, and that experience of being in a place where your work is critiqued, what you're producing is shared. That's a vulnerable place for kids to be. That sometimes they just like to hide out in their rooms, you know, behind their screens, where nobody knows who they are. This opens them up to at least that exposure.
They're getting in a batter's box, effectively.
Yeah.
They are. Right. They're taking a free throw in front of everybody. It's a different form.
That's a big thing. The two things that I share with parents when they come. One is we're made in the image of God, and He's a creator.
Yeah.
And so the creative process is something that's in us. Mm-hmm. It's part of who we are because we're in His likeness. And so art will give them the opportunity to be creative. They can be creative in any class, but there's specific things you can see in this room.
Yeah.
So creativity and then integrity. Mm-hmm. To me, integrity is something that you can trace somebody else's work. You can copy somebody else's work. You can steal from other people. You have artificial intelligence draw it for you. Mm-hmm. So integrity of doing your own work, and saying praise or failure, you know, you laugh at me or you applaud me, this is my work.
Yeah.
And being willing, that is another very hard thing for kids.
Yeah.
So this is a great place where not a lot of pressure, really. It's not like you're doing a lot of reading or testing or everything. Mm-hmm. You just have fun. And then, like Darren said, half of the grade in my class is based on their effort. Mm-hmm. So if a kid comes in with an extreme disability or really struggles, but he puts in the effort in my class, he can ace the class.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with his skills. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if he can get past the comparison issue with other kids and not quit, you know, that's another thing.
Yeah.
Hanging in there, perseverance.
Yeah.
Tell you, man, integrity, creativity, perseverance, discipline, those are huge things for life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the art room is probably the most important place.
It happens. Yeah.
The most important place they could pick that up without feeling too much pressure.
Yeah.
I do see passing this place over the years. I always tell you this. There's a happiness. It's not a relief. It's like there's a peace in here. Mm. People that aren't necessarily artists, but they are working in here, and you can feel that this is a place where they go. They breathe and they create, and they I don't know if they rest a little bit, and not in a way like rest like slothfully, but they rest like this is where they need to be a little bit. You can see it as a, especially the older kids. But can you talk a little bit about like what's a freshman kid who doesn't have a huge interest in art, but he knows he's kind of drawn to it. What does he draw out of this for the 4 years he's here?
Absolutely. Yeah. So. Yeah. 100% agree exactly.
Yeah.
That's what Jeffrey said. Maybe this is where it's so cool to see, like, even me stepping in, I could just see God continuing the work, you know, that Mr. Jemberg has laid a foundation for. Something I shared with the during kind of like in the syllabus and in my first week of school with the students was this verse, Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And to me, this verse speaks so much to God's intention and design, that he has a purpose and a plan for each of us. You know, whether that's in the arts or not, and especially maybe even if it's not in the arts, then this is a really unique season for those students to experience and think about, like, how has God created me, not for my own glory, but for his? And how can I convey a message? How do I have a voice and share something? Like right now, my Art 1 students, they just went through doing like more of a technical drawing type exercise for the last few weeks. So now they're stepping into something more creative. And the prompt is, what is something important to you? What's something that you want to say and like something that you value in life? And it's interesting talking to some of the students, it's an easy exercise. They've already been thinking about these things. And then this just gives them another level to be able to express that in some meaningful way. And then there's other students where it feels like they've never thought about that in their entire life.
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't know what's meaningful to me. My dog or my family? Not that those are bad things, but then the question is, well, why? Like, what about family is important to you? Like, what are the aspects and characteristics, and how would you represent that? So if anything, art is a vehicle to be able to understand within the classroom, like God's design, God's purpose, and what important things are laid in our life, and how do you say something about that in a way that is new and different, and how do other people interpret your work as well when they see it? Because maybe you're trying to share a value and nobody understands it. So then how do we get better at communication? There's a lot of different personal ways to grow, I think, in our understanding, but also like Mr. Jemberg was saying, good life skills.
Yeah.
Like, where else are you going to be applauded for failing?
And over and over.
And just continue to be like, dude, pick it up. Pick up the pencil again. Pick up the brush again. Yeah. Like, let's try again. Like, you can do it, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, that's really good. Can you guys think of any students, and you don't have to name them by name, but think of the process where I think you talked about this was your thing. And can you think of students where they've shown up not having a thing, and then this is their thing, and then they become like this phoenix rising from the ashes in this area? Can you think of students like that, or do you have any stories like that that you can rename the student? But can you just kids that have said,
it's interesting, this is it, I have a lot of guys who've gone on professionally, but they kind of knew.
Okay, they
like
know
Rob,
really.
Like Rob.
Oh, Black, sure, Blackfell. Sure.
He knew when he As came, he was going to be a superhero comic guy.
You're right.
Or Leonard Beltran, who came in doing Disney stuff, and then he starts his own animation school in India as a ministry. It's like these guys were driven from the, you know, like I coached Megan Jasala.
Okay.
And she knew as a freshman coming in, she was going to play college soccer. And they're such a rare bird.
Okay.
I mean, he was kind of that way, but I don't know exactly what his. But you had that kind of skill.
Sure.
Whereas somebody like my daughter, I'm going to pick on her, but she came in kind of like, yeah, dad does it, and I guess I could be good at it. Yeah. And now, and she's not a professional, but she uses it all the time. She has her own little, she helps people with their weddings, and she does signs for this. And she has average skills, I would think. She's maybe above average skills for what some people would think, but she has taken off when it comes to creativity. And my wife will go to her before she comes to me to have things done.
Yeah, interesting.
It's like hey.
She's bringing beauty into space.
But she, so somebody like that, I had a girl who said to me, all the things in school that I learned, I use calligraphy. It was a design class. She used it because she said hand lettering is something I still do today. So when you hear those kind of things, it's encouraging. Encouraging to hear. And you don't necessarily know that's going to happen when they're students in your class. Or a kid who said, you know, I got an invitation to San Diego State graduation from a girl who was took one class, art design class, and she ended up being an art design major.
Oh, no kidding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there are plenty of others. Some of the international kids know coming in. I mean, it's you can see the skill level, and then they just take off, and they're doing phenomenal things. Unfortunately, I don't stay in touch with them as much as some of the other kids.
Sure.
Lose touch, but it is so, as a teacher for as many years as I have, to have people like Darren be as successful in the arts and honoring God with what they do, like what Leonard does in the ministry in India.
Yeah,
it's like when you see those kind of things, it just makes you feel like, okay, it was all worth it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
When I think about like anything that brings glory to man, it's an incredible test. Being as someone who has talent, and that could be anything. It could be sports, it could be academics, it could be art. But to have a skill, to develop that skill, and then to do it then in a way that is honoring and glorifying to God, I feel like are very different things. And to do all those well, I think it's just, it is an incredible act of worship to God, because in a sense you're laying down what potentially could be your life's work. To glorify God. And in some ways, like, that's part of my journey and my wife's journey, since we work collaboratively in the professional world. And that's always been a test. And it's still something that I'm learning to break away from, like, the fear of man, or even the enticements of a glorification that man gives.
Yeah.
When you have a skill, because that's natural. You're going to get that if you're good at something. And to be able to honor God with it. And sometimes that does come at the cost of professional development, or comes at the cost of even dreams. But man, what an incredible way to lay your life down for the Lord. To understand that what you've been given is not just for you, but it's to help and to stewards and to love others as well. By kind of backtracking a little bit, I don't have much time here at the school, so I don't have these stories that I long to have that Mr. Jemberg has. Mm-hmm. But like you mentioned, we had a school before, and there is one student in particular I remember. Her name's Haley. She goes to our church, and she was this quiet little like mouse. We describe her as a mouse, or that's when we first met her, my wife and I. Kind of, you know, just mentored her as art teachers for years, and then she starts to grow in her faith. She starts to blossom, and she has incredible talent, like beyond, like she could have been so successful in the art world. And yet as she prayed, she felt like God was growing her heart to be a nurse. So now she's a nurse, and now she's working at and she's an incredible nurse. But then she's chosen to go to this tiny little medical clinic where she's helping women who are considering abortions to consider life. Wow. She preaches the gospel to these women. Get emotional because she has such talent, and she's still using the talent. She uses her gifts for ministry, all sorts of things. So she's still active and in her creative gift, but her talent is not her identity. Her identity is in the Lord, first and foremost. So there's just so much there. And then I guess if you do go have a career in the arts, it's like, man, there's so many ways that you can glorify God. Our God has created beautiful things, right? When it comes to us, when it comes to nature. And to be able to represent that, and to be able to show that, and to be able to draw people's eyes to that, it's an incredible gift to be able to do that. But again, I think for me, at least the challenge as a artist is not necessarily creating the imagery that would bring glory to God, but making sure that within my heart, I'm actually glorifying God.
So how do you anchor back? Because you've had some success in this space.
Yes.
How do you intentionally anchor back to the things that keep you chasing the right things?
Well, the verse that at the height of our career, my wife and I could not get away from this verse that was saying, what profit is it to gain the whole world and yet lose your soul? And I don't know. I always just figured it's like you hear like these weird conspiracies. So I'm like, oh, maybe something's going to come forward to me with like a contract that's like sell your soul to the devil and I'm going to have to reject that. But we realize in real life, it's small little compromises. Mm. It's like, hey, like, will you believe me that I have the power to make you successful, whatever that entity is, and you need to bow down your knee to this in order to do that. And it might be a small little compromise on your character. It might be a small compromise on what you're saying in your art. And those little things chipping away, I think, are the tests. And at least for us, we did say yes to some of those things, and we saw our voice become smaller and smaller. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, we're like, oh, like, I think we might not lose our salvation, but in some ways lose, like, the very purpose for why God has put us here. Mm-hmm. We would have the fame, we would have the money, we would have all the success. But the message of specifically, which is very interesting to me, because we could be out there as people of faith, be very kind, be nice people, like the nice Christians, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. But specifically the message of the gospel would be lost because the gospel is so offensive to the world. Mm. And that's where my wife and I realized that we cannot compromise that. Like, we want to be people who are not just the nice Christians in the world, but people who carry the message that saved us and ultimately is going to bring hope and restoration to people's souls. And that is very unpopular in the world. Like, you could say a bunch of nice things, but to be able to say, hey, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Yeah. And you are a sinful person and you need a savior. Yeah, that's very offensive. So holding that in as Christians, like, as our top value, that is my highest identity, is as a son, someone who's been rescued, brought from death to life. Mm. I can't give that up,
yeah.
You know, for anything that the world has to offer.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so happy to be here. Like, yeah. I can share that with the students, and I can encourage that within the students. Yeah. And I can tell them that, hey, man, it's worthwhile.
And how do you drill that down and package that and make that transferable to the students? Like, that messaging, that feeling.
Yeah.
Like, how would you present that to students?
Ooh, that's hard. I don't know. Because yeah. I think that, you know, there's a lot of students that are probably not going to capture that.
Yeah.
But I hope that Mr. Jernberg and my humility and the way that we interact with the students and the way that we love them, hopefully they see a life transformed. Mm. I do share what's going on in our career. We do projects. Like, I'm working on a painting there that I have to finish today. I have a print in the back that I got proof for, so I'll show the students the process of how we proof stuff. So there's all the professional stuff. Every morning I forget sometimes in class, so students will recognize that I forget this, but I try to start a class with prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to make it
good. I'm glad they're reminded you.
We love that.
My students don't.
Yeah.
It's good.
And it's good.
Yeah.
And I've even said to them, as far as prayer before class,
yeah,
I don't want to do it habitually, just because absolutely, that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's a good habit.
Yes.
I remember Gary Pate years ago said, if there's any habit you want to get into, it's praying before class.
Yes.
Yeah.
Call it a habit.
Sure.
Yes.
That's a good habit.
Yeah.
He said, don't say, but I'm talking about the flippancy of it.
Yes. You know, absolutely.
Just making it
and that's my
genuine.
So, like, I'm trying to, even for myself, pray at the beginning of class and actually make it a genuine prayer. Mm-hmm. For all of us, because I'm in the same boat as the students. Like, we all struggle with being tempted by the different things of the world. So I think in some sense, integrity, it's one of those things that it's, when you recognize it, you recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
But the world oftentimes doesn't recognize integrity.
Sure.
So hopefully integrity of character, if I have integrity, that'll be a light to the students.
That's good.
Yeah, they're always really watching.
Good. Yeah.
They're always watching.
They want to make sure
they
real.
They can sniff out fake. They can sniff out fake really quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I think, you know, going back to a little bit of what you were saying, is that the kids are going to have a tension in their life between stuff or the worldly things and then treasures in heaven.
Yeah.
They're going to have that. And if they're not a child of God, it's only going to go one direction.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they're not going to find a lot of happiness there. And what we have an opportunity to do here is say, God gave you gifts, how you use them, giving them back to him and saying, however, and then use them to further your kingdom.
Yes.
That's going to give you treasures in heaven and understanding what that means for the kids. And then saying, or you can just store up treasures for yourself.
Yeah.
And then when you die, they just, they die with you.
Mm-hmm.
That tension, we all have it.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
And so just sharing that with them yeah. and saying, you know, this is something that you're going to battle
yeah.
is points them back to Creator, but it also the idea of what God's nature is and what he does for yeah. us mm. in that if we're in the right place in God's will,
yeah.
love, joy, peace, patience, all the things the world wants
okay. mm-hmm.
through the Holy Spirit he gives us.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
yeah.
you have no idea what a life like that. And I struggle with it too, because yeah. we're in a world that's in a culture that's all about stuff.
Yes.
And it's all about how much you can achieve. And achievement is a good thing, but understanding that you're only achieving what God has gifted you to do.
Yeah. Yes.
And then you do the best you can to do that.
Yeah.
And that's why kids, that's why I put so much effort, much grading, which matters to the kids,
yeah.
on effort.
Yeah.
Because
what's more
your
important?
Effort from
yeah.
now to the day you die
yeah.
is really all that's going to, it's going to make or break you, is yeah, your right. effort. And not your God-given skills. I mean, yeah, a guy can hit a ball 400 feet
yeah.
or throw a ball 95 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those yeah. guys are going to have a little bit of a... But then they have the tension of this is all about me.
Yeah.
Look at the gifts I have
exactly.
versus how do I use that? So when I see athletes, professional athletes giving God the glory, mm. I mean, genuinely.
Yeah, it's the same idea. Yeah.
It's like I almost well up. It's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Or what's going on right now politically
yeah.
with
yeah.
Saying, you know, somebody like Charlie Kirk, I don't know if you want it, but yeah. for him to say, all this stuff is peanuts compared yeah. to my
yes.
my relationship with
yeah.
Christ.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
I think you said it so well, because the idea of
yeah.
when I first started to make some of those decisions that hurt our career, I yeah. saw them as sacrifices.
Mm.
That was my mentality. I'm sacrificing so much.
Yeah.
But in reality is God is trying to take away what would be the lies of the world to truly embrace what is valuable.
Yeah.
So it's not a sacrifice. It's just a really good investment.
Yeah.
It's like I am making a wise investment in heaven and
yeah.
eternity. God wants us to actually experience full joy, full peace. He's not trying to rob us of those things.
Yeah.
But he is trying to take away the lie that the world is the thing that will give us mm-hmm. those things. But ultimately, it's in Christ.
Yeah.
So to be able to experience that, is or to have be challenged with that, if kids come in here and they get discover that they have a talent, and then to be able to walk them through like, hey, this is not for you,
and they might not discover it in high school.
Sure.
I mean, come on, a lot of these kids are everybody's a little selfish.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
High schoolers the epitome of selfishness. It's just that's high school age. It's all about me.
Yeah.
Yes.
But years from now,
yeah,
they have little
they
ones, or
yeah.
just something that they learned or they heard.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
I still hear my dad's voice.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, I still hear some things my mom said. I still hear
yeah.
good teachers, good professors. A phrase or something they
yeah.
said
mm.
Still comes back to me
yeah.
in times, and I think, wow. That's what really matters.
Sure,
and so you hope that something you say, or maybe you know, you get a little note from a kid
yeah.
when I graduation,
mm.
and it's like, oh, he was paying attention, and it got through to him.
Yeah.
It actually mattered. You know,
oh.
That I tell you, if you're not in teaching, I'm sure there are other things that give the same
yeah.
experience, but there's something about that affirmation from kids or from
yeah.
People who are that pushes you forward to do
sure.
doing a better job and
yeah.
to say, okay, this is really where God wants me to be.
It.
It's a cool place. You're in a good spot, Darren.
Yeah.
Trust me, this is a very, and you have some kids who will just never thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And other kids, I have one girl every time, God bless you,
yeah.
thank you. And she goes out the door
so
and they
yeah.
go out the door. Or,
yeah.
you know, a kid comes up and says, can I pray for something for you today?
Wow.
It's like,
yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah. Wow.
That kind of experience is just overwhelming sometimes.
I think that if art is drawing you, or if you're asking the right questions, and if you are mindful of the Lord, I feel like art is worship. When you're able to use it, like anything else, as a vehicle to ponder the goodness of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the justice of God, all the characteristics of God, I think it is worship. It's one of those weird things, Joe. I guess it's just like music. It's like you can use it as a vehicle to worship God. You can use a vehicle to worship yourself.
Mm.
So it's just like anything else.
Yeah.
Worship at its core is saying, God, you are worthy
mm-hmm.
of my praise,
mm-hmm.
And so art, like anything else in your life, you can say, now you giving me this, how can I thank you? Mm-hmm. How can I be appreciative of what you've given
me?
Not
be prideful.
And then mm-hmm. say that to you, praise you for what you've given me. Mm-hmm. That's, to me, an act of worship. So how you use your gifts, even the discipline, the hard work that goes into it, mm-hmm. You know, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's not like it's something that just automatically happens. Mm-hmm. So the work ethic part of it, all that is to me, is an act of worship to God.
It's really good. Mm-hmm. What does this place mean to you personally, as not as teachers, but as students and dads? And mm-hmm. you guys can talk a little bit about it.
You can start, because it's a lot for me.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's very early in my journey here as a teacher.
But as a student, too.
But as a student, like I didn't realize, I was one of those students who did not realize how much Whittier Christian affected me until I became an adult. Mm. And I remember specifically reaching out to, I think I sent you a letter, and I sent Mr. Nunaway a letter, just kind of trying to write out how much I was realizing it was a gift. And then to come back here and to see that it's maybe even more, or maybe I just didn't recognize it before, but a place that's really trying to glorify the Lord and lead the students to be Christ-centered as they pursue whatever it is that their life calling is. Mm. I mean, that's just so encouraging. It reminds me of the church, just like that God has not given up on the church, and he will never give up on the church. To see in some ways like a version of that here at the school, the mission of Christ continuing, man, what a gift to be able to partner with.
Wow.
Yeah.
For me, the school has been most of my professional life now. But as a coach, I could take the athletic part of my life and apply it to kids. Art was something that I wanted to do, and then be able to teach it and not feel the pressure of having to grade so much and all the written stuff that English teachers and math teachers have to do. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Mr. Denver.
How you doing?
Good morning, guys.
Just keep going. It's good.
The idea that I was a parent here, so I saw how my kids interacted, and they would share with me, Dad, you have no idea what some of these kids are going through, or some of the nicest kids are the worst, and some of the worst kids are the nicest.
That is the truth, yes.
And you were a student here, you know, you both knew that, you know, and my kids would tell me that.
Yeah.
So as a parent, as a teacher, as a coach, it has been an all-encompassing part of who I am.
How does art become worship?
Good friends, many of them who have retired. That's a tough thing.
Yeah.
To kind of go through that process of building relationships, and then saying, okay, I'm only going to be here for another year. How close do I get? Those are challenging things. But you know, what Darren was saying, how the focus of the administration, especially Carl and but others, is what are we doing for Christ and these kids, and how are we raising them up to be godly young people? You can't beat that as far as a place to work.
Yeah.
I mean, if I got paid more, it's great, but that's always been true.
Sure.
they can edit that part out. But you know, it's just like the joy is unmeasurable, and the kids are just they're always challenging, and that's, some people don't like that challenge. I love it. I love the grappling, like the challenge with the kids. It's, to me, there's a whole level of creativity involved in
give me a few sentences now. Just affirm our students as a whole, and help them see who they are in Christ, and help them see how you guys view them real quick in like two or three sentences. Mm. Like, what do you see in these students? Like, and maybe you could take a little more time, but like, what do you see in them, and how, give them a word of encouragement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
it's probably what you do every day.
I'm sitting in the middle of my design class right now.
Yeah.
As
if you're talking to them.
Okay. So guys, if you want to pay attention, I'm going to encourage you real quick. Well, we're learning recently about color theory. We're learning about composition. They're designing a poster right now with certain color schemes. I think what I would want to encourage them with is that even if they don't see it in themselves, that they are a beautiful design, that God took such intention in how he's created them and crafted them. He was not passive. He was active. And we know that if God is in the business of creating anything, like, it's going to be beautiful. Mm. So the challenge would be to believe that. To believe that and then to walk in it. You know, so.
Yeah. That's so great. Thank you.
I would just, if I was to encourage the kids, I'd say, you know, we're all on our own journeys. I've been on a journey longer because I'm an old guy, but you're in a young journey, and you may not know Christ. You may know of him, but you may not know him personally. And there's no reason to think that you can't, that journey can't begin, and that it can't be furthered in what you do. And you're in a great place for that.
Thanks for listening to the Whittier Christian Herald's podcast.
Every powerful change begins with a spark. At Azusa Pacific University, we'll help nurture your passions into becoming a bright, enduring flame. We offer a transformative educational experience that gives you the confidence to not only dream bigger, but also reach the highest heights. Explore over 100 programs where you can discover your calling and let your light shine.